Welcome back to the Coffee with Craner show. Today I have Janice Kaffer. She's the president and CEO at Hotel Du Grace Healthcare. She's been working at Hotel Du for 8 years and also 6 years as president and CEO. She's also a registered nurse, and her education goes into a different degree. She studied business administration at Trent University, also healthcare administration at Charles Sturt University, and then also a master's of public administration from Queen's University. So she has a variety of education and experience in the healthcare industry. And it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today, Janice.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Excellent. And it's a Saturday. You're taking time out of your Saturday to join the Coffee with Craner show. At the very beginning, every show, I ask a question relating to coffee. And I'm curious to know, before heading to work, where do you prefer to get coffee?
Well, my very first coffee of the day is at home on my couch. I need a little bit of caffeine to get my brain engaged, just to get ready for the day. And then my second is at the hospital. I go through and pick up my coffee every morning from Carol, who works in our cafeteria. And she has my order down pat, and it's always perfect.
Awesome. And I'm curious to know, what is a typical workday like for you since the pandemic started? And I know there's many students that are interested to know, what is it like to be a president and CEO of a hospital?
Well, there is no typical workday in a pandemic, so that's one of the first things I'll say. Every day brings a whole new set of challenges and opportunities, and sometimes great experiences at the hospital. Before the pandemic, so what we call the before times, in the before times, work was pretty much scheduled meeting after meeting after meeting. And so I explained my job to my dad one day a few years ago as saying that a lot of my job is spent talking to people and listening to people and helping them solve problems, trying to figure out what's the best way to move forward on an issue. And in many ways, that's still what I'm doing, but I'm doing it a lot more informally. So the meetings have disappeared mostly, and regular business has kind of been parked. And our whole operation is focused around keeping our staff and our patients safe and responding from leadership, infection control, safety, security, all those areas to what's happening around us. And that really is it. I mean, in a normal experience for a CEO, we spend a lot of time working with the board, working with the community, doing the internal work. And over this past 4 months or so, most of the work has been the internal work of the organization, and lately a little bit more in the community.
So how do you communicate with your team, especially with there's constant updates with COVID-19? How are you staying communicated with all of them?
Yeah, we have a variety of methods that we've been using at Hotel Du. So one of the most important ones is face-to-face communication. So early in the pandemic, what I started to do was go and do huddles with the staff. So a big part of leadership is actually presence, is being there, is talking to folks and helping them understand what's happening, why it's happening, taking their questions and their suggestions. The frontline staff, the nurses, physiotherapists, occupational therapists, pharmacists, the whole crew, like there's so many people, so many professions at Hotel Du, all of them have really good ideas on how we should be responding and how we can take care of our patients better and each other. And so a big part of communication is just talking to people. And so huddles on the units, I have a regular schedule now, but in the first weeks, I would go out on the unit every single day, different units every day. I think I spoke to several hundred staff each week. We have about 1,100 staff in total at Hotel Du, and brought their ideas and suggestions back to our incident management table. The other thing that I think has been really, really successful is that we've been using an email communication tool called In All Users. We do that every day. Everyone in the organization, including our docs and our board, everyone gets that information as it happens. Sometimes in the early days of the pandemic, we were putting out two all users a day because information was changing so fast, right? You'd get stuff in the morning and then by afternoon you have to make a different decision and staff needed to know all of that. And we introduced something called HDTV, which is little video snippets that I do. I record them in my office and I send them out to people as well and they get posted on our Facebook page. And so those are just some of the ways that we manage, but it's one of the most important aspects of managing a crisis is communication. So it's a really good question. And some organizations have done it really, really well and some have not.
Wow, that is fascinating. And especially you're taking time to give that message through a video. That's so cool. And it's something I've never heard of, a CEO doing little short videos to inform their employees. That's incredible.
Well, I didn't come up with it myself. I have to give a serious shout out to Lori Marshall. She's the CEO in Chatham-Kent Health Alliance. And I saw her do one and I thought, oh, I'm going to shamelessly steal this one because it's a great idea.
Exactly. And I'm also curious to know, we talked a bit about how you have a registered nurse profession and background. How does that help you lead the hospital today, knowing all that information, being a registered nurse?
I think, I've been a RN now since 1983, so it's been a long time. And I've worked in lots of different fields, actually, Lyndon. I've worked in front lines doing the work that I ask my staff to do now. I've been a frontline nurse. I've worked in home care. I've taught at university and college as associate staff. And in many ways, I think having an understanding of what the staff are experiencing, even though it's, you know, many years old, is helpful. I understand the language. A big part for me was I was a manager during SARS. And I remember how it felt to go into that environment. And back then, it was a very different experience. And we didn't have social media. We didn't have this kind of technology. So much of our information came through the traditional media and through our hospital leadership. And it was brand new and nobody had ever heard anything about anything like that before. So I think in many ways that experience and my nursing background has helped me to provide a good and I'd say interactive environment for our staff. And not alone, I get to work with a wonderful team. Our communications team, our incident management team has been remarkably focused on doing the right work and doing the right thing and keeping us safe at Hotel Dieu. But leadership generally of a hospital, I think the leadership qualities that I bring are partly informed by my clinical background and partly informed by life and you know, just having been a parent and a mom and working in lots of different sectors. And I've worked for some tremendously great leaders who don't have a healthcare background. So, you know, I think leadership is of itself a unique attribute that some have developed fairly well.
Now, you mentioned you've worked through SARS. I'm curious to know, let's compare quickly if we can, working through SARS and now working at a hospital during COVID-19, what is the biggest difference that you've noticed?
I think a couple of things. One is the depth and breadth of the infection control knowledge that we have now. And we understand this novel virus partly because of the SARS experience and the very thorough reviews that happened post-SARS, where we learned lessons about what to do and what not to do. Some of those lessons, I don't think were necessarily fully incorporated by the system. And I think we learned that early days with not having a sufficient pandemic stock of PPE, for instance. That was a lesson that we had during SARS and somehow over the years got lost. And I don't know how that got lost. But, you know, there was worry in the early days that we wouldn't have enough masks and gowns and gloves and all of that. And that is still, in some ways, a lingering concern. It's still out there. And I think the other thing that I would say that lessons learned is the importance of communication. During SARS, I don't think I saw a lot of our senior leaders out and about in the hospital. And I don't know why, and I don't know if it was the demands on them at that time with that disease. But I remember in the early days of this pandemic, when it first started, one of the first decisions we made as an organization was that we had to communicate all the time to the staff, and that we had to communicate directly to the staff families, because families are worried for the healthcare workers going into the hospital. My kids were worried when I went to work during SARS. And those kinds of things stick with you. And I think for the young leaders right now who are working through COVID, some of the things that they're experiencing will stick with them, both good and bad. And that's important that they remember some of the lessons that they're learning now, because I think the next pandemic, I should be retired. I hope I'm retired. And I hope a whole bunch of others are retired. So this next generation will be the generation that does the work that I've been doing. Lyndon, your mic is muted.
Good call. we do have a question here that came in the comments, and it says, what do you do when you feel burnt out and to motivate your team to keep pushing and to keep going strong? And I think this is so important, especially with the pandemic right now.
Yeah, you know, that is a really important question. Mental wellness has been a topic at Hotel Dew and across many other health system organizations, and trying to keep our staff and myself feeling strong. It's not an easy thing, and there isn't one size fits all, actually, Michael. So in many ways, I think it's really about knowing your organization and knowing yourself. And I am somebody who speaks openly about the fact that there are times when I get very tired. We as leaders have to make sure that we're taking time away. I'm not always the best at doing that. I talk about it well, but I don't always do it well. And I'm surrounded by people that actually tell me when I'm getting cranky and I need to take some time off. How I do that, for me, family is a really important part of my life. It is the biggest part of my life. For me, spending time with my grandkids, spending time with my daughter and son-in-law, I love to read. I live on the lake, and I like to sit out by the lake and just be and not do anything. And for our staff, a lot of the things that we've been doing with them is making sure that we talk very openly about the fact that they need to take their vacation, especially our leaders. There's a tendency to try to do everything and be everything to everyone when you're in a leadership role during a crisis. And that's one of those kind of downward spirals when you try to do that. You have to be sure that you're spreading the work out and that you're getting time off. I haven't felt burnt out yet, I'll say. And partly that's because our hospital is a post-acute hospital. And so we have not had the kind of demands that, for instance, Mr. Mugier's had at Windsor Regional, or Dr. Malkor's had at Erie Shores. An acute care hospital has been more on the front line of that first wave of sickness. And I think many of them have been working in a very different way than we have. And so at Hotel Dew, I think our focus is really talking about it, making sure that people are aware that they can talk about when they're not well, and making sure there's lots of resources like EAP when things get a bit rough.
Excellent. Thank you for answering Michael's question, Janice. We have another question that came in. It's from Zane Ismail. It says, has COVID highlighted any changes we need to make more broadly in our local health system? If so, what are they?
Oh, Zane, you give me an easy one. I think there's an awful lot of learnings here. And we were on that road a little bit with the beginnings of the Ontario health team conversations under the Ford government. So some health system reform had started pre-COVID. And in Windsor-Essex, we have come together as a community to start talking about what an Ontario health team might look like. And that really is a different way of structuring. And I think the difference for me in the response locally to this, and the response when I was in Nova Scotia to H1N1 when it came, is that when you have an integrated system and you have leadership that has eyes into all the different sectors of that system, Making tough decisions and making decisions that are in the interests of the general population is easier. In order to manage a crisis like a pandemic, you need a whole system response. And it's harder to have a whole system response when there are 40 people in charge of their little section of that whole system. And each is making a decision from a frame of reference that may not be related to the whole. And I think that's one of the most important lessons and changes. And the second one that's really, really important is that patients and families absolutely have to be more engaged in what we do and the decisions we make. And we've seen that play out in the long-term care sector and in the hospital system. And the patient's presence and the patient's voice in organizations like mine, it's really hard when they are part of the decision-making fabric of our hospital. And then we have to tell them during a pandemic, well, sorry, you can't come in. And then how to bring them back in a way that's safe and that is respectful of their role. I don't think the system has done that well. And I think that's a significant change that has to happen going forward.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. Hope that answered your question, Zane. I appreciate you jumping in the comments and staying engaged with us. And kind of the last question that I'd like to close off with is, what leadership lessons have you learned during this pandemic that you can really share with today's emerging leaders?
I think there's a few. The first one is one, it's a lesson that I've always known, and that really is about not taking yourself too seriously. You know, I think a lot of leaders get caught up in the press, in the moment, in the idea that they're all that in a bag of chips, and really we're not. Every leader is part of a team. And so in many ways, leadership is as much about how you function in the team as how you are at times taking charge of the team. And I think the other important lesson is you can't ever depend on one particular set of skills. And so in my organization, we've been having a conversation about the fact that my usual leadership style is to be very inclusive, engaging, and collaborative. And during the pandemic, I have been much more command and control. And I think every leader has to be able to have a toolbox of leadership techniques and styles and comfort levels to be able to adjust to whatever the circumstances bring to you. And I think emerging leaders, what I would say is sample and learn from a variety of leadership styles, even the ones you don't like. Because if you pay attention to the ones you don't like, that means that that's going to be a weakness in your leadership toolbox that you will have to develop in order to be able to manage through a situation someday where your natural leadership style won't be sufficient. So you learn from the good, you learn from the bad, and you figure your own style. And each one of those learnings will come to bear sometime in your career.
Wow. That was powerful. And that's a really, really great point. And it's something that I'm going to start doing more, is you learn from the good and the bad, for sure. So I appreciate your time today and really helping give those watching kind of behind the scenes look at the hospital and also some of the leadership lessons you've learned in your role as president and CEO of Hotel Du. So I appreciate your time today, and I encourage those watching, please enter your comments your questions in the comments, and we'll get back to them at the end of the show. And I thank you for your time today.